Well, the background sounds are inevitable because I'm doing a million things at once as usual. I got stuff on the stove, I got stuff in the laundry. So anyway, let's talk about the town hall, because I did manage to watch that and I didn't have a chance to talk about it until now. And right now we're on the heels of the next debate with the president and Biden. And that one they decided to do in a town hall format, which I thought was interesting. It's nice to have the public ask their questions. I don't know how far in advance they can prepare these questions, if the questions are given to them. This is something I'm not clear on. But what I don't understand is that the whole point of the town hall was because they didn't agree. Trump didn't agree on a virtual debate. But if the virtual debate is something the Biden people wanted because of COVID concerns, why the heck were they still in front of people in their town hall respectively? He's in front of George Stephanopoulos. There's no plexiglass. There's no masks. Which is fine, because I always think that that's a little bit, you know, ridiculous as long as they keep their distance. But if he's going to be in front of a live person anyway with the proper distance, why couldn't he do that in front of Trump? Why couldn't they face each other off in that same way? Why did they have to be in front of people before an audience in two separate places if what they wanted was virtual? I don't understand that. And clearly, you know, Savannah Guthrie was always going for his throat and demanding that he answer things the way she wanted them answered, insinuating that he did know what this or that was, even though he gave her his response. And I don't see that happening when Biden was having his town hall. Nobody's saying, yes, you do know about this, or you do know about that, or the criticisms that usually come with. And clearly, you know, George is on the Biden team, and so is Savannah. So what I don't understand is, if the moderators are not going to be neutral anyway, why do we even go through this charade? Why don't we just alternate the moderators based on their political affiliation, whatever that may be, like it or not, so that everybody has a chance to be confronted with someone who's either on their side or not, equally, instead of always in front of someone who clearly is anti-Trump. And now I hear that the next moderator is even more leftist than Savannah. She supposedly deleted her Twitter account. I don't know why. It's rumored that she, I don't know if it's a rumor or anything, you know, that can't be looked up, that she's close with the Obamas or was invited there for Thanksgiving or Christmas. I don't know. Point is that she doesn't come across as someone who, again, is going to be neutral. So, you know, if you're going to cross-examine people and give me a pit bull on each side, I'm totally down with that. I don't have any problems with that. Call them all to task. But again, it's lopsided. It's not fair across the board. It's always pressing Trump on all the issues and then giving Biden softballs. So let's see how this goes, because the next one is going to be interesting. It's hard to believe that, you know, soon November 3rd will be upon us and we're going to find out one way or another which way this thing is going to go. I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm going to care a thing about politics once this is all behind us. I don't know if I'm going to care once the pandemic is behind us, because the pandemic is what threw me down this rabbit hole and I've been trying to claw my way out. It's just been impossibly hard to ignore what you see on the news, especially the contradictions and the refusal to hold everything to the same standard. Because if you recall, when Trump got COVID, they were accusing his event in the Rose Garden, I think it was to announce his Amy Coney Barrett confirmation, or nominee rather, as a super spreader. But since then, we've had a ton of people come out in large crowds for to celebrate a Lakers win in the streets. I don't think I saw masks, but I did see people piggybacking on each other without any concerns. And then there was also a women's march. And no one calls those events super spreaders. So once again, it's that constant hypocritical stance about how you can get COVID if you do this, but nobody thinks about you getting COVID if you do that. And it's a broken record, really. In the meantime, us regular normal folks are here wondering if all hell is going to break loose if Trump wins again, and the riots will just get worse and more burning and vandalization. And I think the last time I saw Antifa at work, they kicked somebody's teeth in. I think they fell out completely. It was very bizarre. And It was white Antifa people who kicked in the teeth of a black man who I think was supporting Back the Blue or Republicans or Trump or whatever. The point is he wasn't supporting, you know, anything Democratic or liberal. So they beat him in, and I think they called him a name. So I think it was a racial slur, I'm not sure, but it's gone viral. And I can't for the life of me see how black people anywhere could stay silent while other black people are being abused by Antifa people because they don't agree with them. It's pretty mind-blowing. And that reminds me of a video I saw on YouTube, which I'll put the link below. The name of the show, excuse my French, is called Black People's Shit. And they invited black Republicans on to talk. And in fact, the episode name was Black Republicans Matter. And I appreciated this exchange thoroughly for several reasons. Number one, they didn't go on a tangent on every other issue that's affecting people under the sun or has us polarized, because not that they don't have equal importance, but let's just say they didn't go into transgender and they didn't go into abortions. They just kept it to the racial tensions and reparations and their feelings about the president and what conservatism means for those who are not familiar. And three people on the panel were on the, you know, the Democratic side. The guests were the two Republicans there. And it was a nice, cordial exchange of information. It was done very respectfully. At points, you know, there was some passionate responses, but nothing crazy. You could tell what meant a lot to the person, you know, speaking about it. There were things that were debunked, maybe not fully, but at least the attempt was made. And even though I don't think this dialogue between them swayed anybody across the other aisle in any way, it certainly brought an understanding to the table. It was informative to me, even though I'm not a black conservative per se. I am just part of a minority group. But just to hear why it is that they vote the way they vote and what it is that they believe and why they come to these conclusions. And one of the things that one of the women on the Democratic side said that she votes that way was because she was able to marry another woman. So there's the gay rights aspect. But if anyone who supports Trump cares about LGBTQ, which is its own controversial thing on its own in terms of politically, there's nothing about the Trump camp. You know, how voters feel, or, you know, Christian Republicans feel, or what I feel, it's not the point. The point is that there is a coalition for the LGBT community that is in support of Trump. So if that's important to you, that's not something that Trump is taking away, if that makes sense. But she said that what mattered to her was that, you know, when she voted for Obama, she was able to marry her girlfriend. Okay, another thing she said was that she liked to see herself represented in the Democratic Party in terms of, you know, appearance. I guess she doesn't see enough people of color in the Republican side. I can see the optics for that being an issue until you dig further and you come across all the conservatives of all different backgrounds. If they're not as vocal or active or seen, you know, in media, there's probably a reason for that. And also, a lot of them have to keep it to themselves, unfortunately, right? So they don't feel comfortable coming out as a conservative. If it's one thing that I found on this political journey of my own, is that there are so many people from different backgrounds who are conservative, and they all have a lot of the same ideas in common. They're not bound to each other because of race. Whereas she just said in her example that she wanted to see herself in the party, and Kamala was a good representation of that in her opinion, because her as a black woman and her friend who happens to be Indian could both claim her. So I can see where they're coming from, but at the end of the day, even if everyone in the party looks like you, what does that mean in the grand scheme of things in terms of policies that have benefited you directly? And this goes back to Obama and how we had 8 years of a black president that many people who are voting for Trump voted for as well, so they're not racist. And they can't really say what he's done for black people while he was in office. And he certainly didn't address this burning issue that we have now called systemic racism, which I find really bizarre, because if you call something systemic, then it means it wasn't new and it wasn't on their agenda. Even the First Lady, Michelle Obama, what did she make her issue? She did, she tackled childhood obesity. That's what she chose. Now, if you think that racism is such a prevalent problem in America and that it needs to be addressed, wasn't that your opportunity? It's as if this white supremacy folder was misfiled or something when they were in the White House. And they found it now because Trump's in office and it's for political gain, you know? Keep us divided, keep us seeing our differences instead of what brings us together, and acting as if something like racism is not a global problem. Because if you say that you don't think that all this racist talk is accurate, it's not saying that you don't think racism exists. And it's also this notion that it's an American problem, which is false, right? It's a human condition, like so many others, right? And it's not the only place where you're confronted with it. But they keep harping on it in the way that they do. And I have to see after this election is over, or even if Trump wins and he's completely out of the office 4 years from now, where they're going to take this whole thing, and if they will continue running on it or when the pandemic is over, because it just seems just too convenient to keep us focused on our skin color and not thinking about the real issues and the real policies and all this socialist type stuff that they're trying to usher in through the Democratic Party. And one of the things that I personally find troubling is how they're trying to introduce it as much as they can through all the children shows, through all the children materials. It's just everywhere you turn, and you're just bombarded with all this messaging. And then when you try to have a debate with someone, if they're on the left, you can't even talk to them like a normal person and say how you feel, because they use all these woke terms and language, and you think, oh God, this is what they're teaching people in college, and now this is what they want to teach our kids. You can't even have a normal conversation without all these, woke terms. And it's just so infuriating and exhausting. And you see it everywhere you turn. Back again with the toxic masculinity and white privilege and critical race theory and white fragility, that's supposedly the book that's going to teach people what to do. And then now I hear that there's even a 12-step program for white people because of their inherent racism to work through it in some university. Oh, good grief. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent, and I just wanted to get this out. And tomorrow, I guess, is the debate. I am not sure. Hopefully you'll be watching. I'll be sure to take my notes. Come back here and tell you how I feel. Ciao for now. Oh, and I almost forgot. Wasn't that nodding lady behind Trump the best? All I was thinking about was how she checked off all the identity politic boxes, you know? She was an immigrant. She was Latina. She was black. She was a woman. And there she was cheering Trump on. And there was some footage that I guess she was filming between commercials where she was rooting the president on. And I can only wonder what Savannah Guthrie thought about that deep down in her soul. She seemed bothered. Anyway, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel if you're into other things, not just politics. For example, homeschooling, if that applies to you. And you might appreciate my product reviews for all things home office and the kitchen, which I can't get enough of. So I'll put my link below too in the notes section, so you can find me on social media and reach out. I'm happy to connect with fellow conservatives, particularly Latino ones, because in my real life, they come few and far between. So you know what to do. Like, share, and subscribe. It's up to you.